one more thing. I would like the government to get back into working order. So we can just pray that the shutdown is ended. The word is now finally getting out, and the Democrats themselves are coming out saying they're using it as a tool against Trump. And so, you know, it'd be one thing if they were fighting for something, a cause, but they're not even fighting for a cause, and now they're finally telling us. And then it's not me guessing if they're actually making statements on television, that this is their tool to use against him and against the Republicans. And it's like, okay, that's not a government that's supporting us as people. that's their own agendas and their own things. And so I just like to pray for very bold and, you know, God has spoken to people many times in the past. Dreams, visions, revelations. I'm just believing that, you know, I'm almost positive that every person in our House and in our Senate has had someone in their life that's prayed for them. This is America. That's what happens here. So an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, a parent. And so I'm just believing that the words that they were taught as a child are going to come up in them, and they're going to do what's right. So let's just go ahead and agree. So, Father, we just agree right now. We thank you, Father, that we stretch our hands to the east, and we just, as a statement of faith, we just say that the government shutdown is over. I speak to every person, Father, that has been a hindrance, every person that's been thinking or plotting against something, Father, I thank you. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I thank you, Father, for every person in that Senate that was raised to believe in you, whether Democrat or Republican, God. I just thank you that they were raised to believe in you. They heard your word. They were prayed over. I pray those words are going to stir up within them today, that they're not going to be able to get away from the truth, Father, and that they're going to be able to vote, and they're going to vote truth. They're going to vote for what's right. I thank you, Lord, that this is not a tool that's going to be used against our nation one day longer. And I thank you, Father, for protecting and for covering all those who choose to vote what is right. And I thank you, Lord, that there is going to be a turnaround tomorrow in the name of Jesus. The vote is going through. It is being passed because of the righteousness that is rising up in these people, and they are going to do what's right. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, for a supernatural turnaround in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It's important for us to pray about these things, right? And it's important for us. I love, if you ever watch Victory News, Chris Ann Hall, she's always the one that just tells it like it is. And it may not be what they want to hear, but she just tells them anyway. But a lot of times her points are very valid. You know, they've been talking about President Trump just doing away with the filibuster. But here's the fact. If a president that we like can do away with it, guess what? A president we don't like can do away with it. So we want to make sure that we're setting up standards that are not just good for President Trump, but that are good for America moving forward. Does that make sense? So that's why the Constitution was set up the way that it is. It's to protect the people. So we want both sides to have the same rules so that nobody's out there just, you know, doing things with it they want to. Because even though we're like cheering on President Trump, but are we going to cheer on the next Democrat that's doing the same thing? Does that make sense? So we do want to make sure that it's done legally and constitutionally correctly. And so that's where we don't even have to touch that. We can just pray for the hearts of the people. We can pray that God changes their hearts and that they vote truth. They vote righteousness. They may not even know why they say yay, but they do. Amen? And then praying for protection. I don't know if you've noticed, we live in a society right now that is very evil. And I'm thinking a lot of people in that party are concerned about themselves and their families. So we need to pray for protection. Amen? Over these people when we're praying. Just a little side thing. So anyway, open your Bibles today to 2 Corinthians 9. We've been here before, but we're here again because it has to do with giving as an act of worship. And this week in our Bible study, we got to see two different words that were only used once in the Bible about the Lord, and I found it very interesting. We were talking about how cool that was, but then I looked up this word, and guess what? It was only used once. Isn't that amazing? When something is only used once, you probably should pay attention, right? So let's go ahead and read 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Well, let's back it up just to verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now listen, So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful, someone say cheerful, a cheerful giver. And we go on and it tells the blessing that happens when you give. And but this is important for us today. The H in worship stands for heartfelt. How many people know that your heart makes a difference when you give? It makes a difference. And so cheerful in this context is the one that's only used once in the Bible. So listen to what it means. It means joyfully, willingly, merrily. It's used to describe spontaneously non-reluctant giving. Wow, that's a lot. Spontaneously non-reluctant giving, already planned ahead in the heart. So he's used this one time to describe giving, right? And Paul wanted the idea of giving to be a flow from a glad-hearted freedom, not an obligation. Let me read that again. Paul here wanted the idea of giving to be a flow from a glad-hearted freedom, not obligation, a heart of worship when you give. So giving is an act of worship. And how you give determines what kind of worship you're bringing. Amen? And so he used a specific word in this place, only used once, a cheerful giver. Or let me say it again. It is a merry giver. It is a willing giver. It is a non-reluctant giver. It is someone who has already planned ahead. What does that mean? That means you can be spontaneous, but you can have a planned spontaneity. Is that right? I'm having a really hard time with this word. So we can be spontaneous, but it can be planned. Amen? So you can think about, oh, I'd really like to take my kids here, right? And you got it all planned out in your head, but you haven't done it yet. But then that moment comes and you're like, whoo, yes, let's go, right? So you're spontaneous, but you've already planned ahead for when that moment comes. That's the idea here is, oh, I'm ready to give my tithes and offerings. I'm ready to give. And you write it out and you get to church and you go, whoo, this is my moment. Whoo, I'm going to give it. Or maybe the Lord's been putting it on your heart, something he wants you to do for giving. And it's been kind of sitting in there and simmering and simmering. And all of a sudden you get that moment and the red flag and the Lord goes, go. And you're like, yes, going. I'm doing it, right? Not red flag, green flag. Forgive me this morning. It's a green flag. He's wanting you to go. Green is go. But the idea is that you're doing it merrily. It's willingly. Amen? Again, I know we've talked about this in the past, but it's an image that you can hold on to when you explain to someone else why you can be so happy about giving your tithes and offerings. Because you want to give an offering that you're excited about, right? You don't want to give an offering, just like you don't want to give a gift to someone and then go, oh, well, I didn't really want to give you this. I really liked it myself, and I really wanted to keep it. But, you know, I did buy it for you, so here you go. Do you want that gift? I don't want that gift. I'd be like, girl, just keep it yourself. I don't need it that badly, right? But it's the heart behind it, right? Or someone will give you something, and you're like, well, here you go. Almost like an afterthought, right? Of, well, I got blessed, so I guess I should bless you too. Does that feel like a blessing? No, right? It doesn't feel like a blessing. Or you get something that's something like a, not the hand-me-downs aren't good, but you know what I'm saying? It's like a cheap version of whatever it is that you wanted. It's kind of like that, okay, thank you. Right? It's the attitude behind the heart. Sometimes I wonder if God feels any of those emotions like I just described. Because sometimes do we bring him our leftovers? Oh, here you go, Lord. This was leftover. There you go. Enjoy that. Right? Or we're sitting there and you know, because in your heart you're sitting there going, I have so many things that I could do with this money if only the Lord hadn't required this of me. Do you think he wants your gift? I think it hurts his heart when we do that, right? Because I know it hurts me, and he created me in his image. And it hurts me to receive a gift unless someone comes up and they're like, it was so cute. I got this sweatshirt for my sister, and I had mailed it to her, and she got her box, and I'll pull my microphone back, because her response was, when she was on the phone. I mean, literally, like, kids are like, who are you talking to? She's like, I'm like, girl, I can't understand a word you're saying. And she was like, I got my box, and I love it. I never get it. I don't get anything from me. This is so cool. And it was just simply a sweatshirt, but she was so blessed by it. But I had sent her a message saying, you're going to get a package, and I can't wait for you to open it, right? So my excitement spread it over to her excitement to receive. Do you see how this works? So when you come into the house of the Lord, and you're like, oh, is it tithes and offering? Is it tithes and offering? The basket comes to you, and you're like, woo, right? You're so excited. Why are you excited? Because you want to bring your gift to the Lord with a merry, cheerful, willing heart. So how we respond on the outside should match the inside. Because guess what? You can't fake out the Lord. You might be able to fake somebody else out, but you can't fake out the Lord. He knows your heart, right? And sometimes we have to do it as an act of obedience and say, I choose to have a merry heart when I put this in. I'm sure the widow with the two mites was telling herself, we are going to rejoice and be glad. Even though this is all we got left, we're putting it in here with a merry heart. Why? Because my God is my provider. I know I can trust him. And I'm coming to worship him with these two mites that I'm putting in. That is the reason why Jesus saw her. Her heart shone out like a bright light in that room. I'm guessing he watched her walk in because of the merry, joyful spirit. He didn't see the religious ones. He didn't see those who were doing what they were obligated to do. He didn't see those putting on a show. He saw the merry heart, and that's what caught his eye. Amen? So if you want to catch the Father's eye when you give your tithes and offerings, you come willingly. You plan ahead to be spontaneous. You plan ahead. What does that mean? Leave a little something on the side. Hold back until the Lord says, now. Now get. Right? Because you already have it. You've already had it stored up. So when that moment comes, you're like, yes, this is my moment. Planned spontaneity. Yes. Amen? Giving is an act of worship. And he wants part of that to be heartfelt. Heartfelt when you give. Amen? Grab your tithes and offering this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for this amazing word. Giving is an act of worship. Just like we come and we praise you with our songs and we raise our hands and we praise you with our lips, Father. Our hearts during offering are also an act of worship. And I thank you, Lord, today that you see our hearts. And I pray, Father, that as you look at Redeemed Church, you would see merry, joyful, cheerful, willing hearts, God. Because when our hearts are like that, we are open to receive more of the blessing of the Lord so that we can continue to be givers to every good work. As they come across our path, Father, you're showing us, you're leading us, you're guiding us so that we can continue to let that blessing go forward and more and more and more people are touched. And Father, I just thank you for blessing every seed that is sown today. But I praise you, Lord, for the seed that's not here yet, for the seed that is germinating even now, Father, that even now is coming to full fruition as a harvest ready for us to reap. I thank you for those seeds, Father, that are to come. And I pray, Father, you'd give us wisdom, especially in this season, Father, of the next couple of months. There's many opportunities for us to be able to give. So I ask that you would prepare our hearts. Show us in advance what you would like us to do, or even giving us wisdom of what to set aside for that moment of spontaneity when you say, now, give now. We can go, oh, yes, yes, I've got it. Thank you, Lord. And we can be a blessing to someone. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, Lord, in our lives, that you have blessed us exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or imagine. And Father, I pray even over these next few weeks as we remember and we're reasons to be thankful for, I pray, Father, you would take us back to the times where we may not have had as much as we have now. And that we would be remember to be grateful, Father. We would remember to praise you for where we have come to and also where we are going to. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Lord, let's stretch your hands out toward the giving baskets. Let's make a statement of faith to say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my tithes and offerings. Harvesting angels, we send you out to the north, south, east, and west. Receive our raises, bonuses, inheritances, increase, the blessing of God manifests in every area of our life, and use our giving, Father, to get the gospel preached around the world that someone else could be saved, delivered, and healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everybody. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Yeah, give him a big shout this morning. Amen. I know it feels a little flat sometimes, I think, on this particular Sunday, because it's like my body's so wired to be an hour ahead. And it's like, but we're just going to operate as normal, okay? As not as natural, but as supernatural. Amen. So, hallelujah. Amen. God is not limited to time or space or time changes or whatever, right? So we're just going to stay locked in. Somebody say, I'm locked in. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can go ahead and dismiss the youth today. I know we're all youthful. Amen. But amen. And would it be all right if we took a little field trip this morning? How many of you, I won't do it unless it's a unanimous show of hands, so no pressure, but how many of you would agree with this statement? We'd like this shutdown to end, and it does not represent us. Yes. Just lift your hand. Okay? All right. We're going to take a field trip right now to Washington, D.C. And I'm going to leave two voicemails on behalf of our church to Maria Cantwell and Patty Murray.
You have reached the office of Governor Bob Ferguson. Our office is currently closed. The governor's office phone lines are answered Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., excluding holidays. We apologize we were unable to take your call. Please.
Okay, that wasn't the right guy. Oh, there it is, okay. But look, somebody say, Lord, bless our governors. Help them. Open their eyes and ears. In Jesus' name, here we go.
Aperture operator, Director Cole.
Yeah, good morning. Could I have Patty Murray's voicemail, please?
Oh, okay, one moment, sir. Patty Murray, thank you for calling my office. It is an honor to represent you in the United States Senate. For information about my office locations and office hours, please press 1. If you are planning a visit to Washington, D.C. and would like information or assistance reserving public tours, please press 2. If you would like to leave me a message with your thoughts on an issue that is important to you, please press 3.
Record your message at the tone. When you are finished, hang up or press pound for more options.
Yeah, good morning, Senator. My name's Steve Livengood. I'm the pastor of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. And we're taking time out of our church service right now just to call you. And right now you're on the phone in our church service. And just to let you know that we prayed for you today. And we just wanted to let you and the Senate know that this government shutdown, and I took a vote unanimously in our church this morning that the shutdown simply does not represent any of us, and we'd like you to end it. So we just wanted to let you know that and request that the shutdown be ended, and we took time out of our church service this morning to call you and ask you that. So thank you so much for your service, and have a great day. Bye-bye. All right. So that was Murray, right?
You've reached the United States Capitol switchboard. Please say the name of the senator or representative that you are trying to reach, or say, I'm not sure.
Maria Cantwell.
Connecting you to the office of Senator.
Maria Cantwell.
Dialing.
Sometimes they answer. or an assistant does.
Thank you for calling the Washington, D.C. office of Senator Maria Cantwell. I apologize that our staff cannot come to the phone right now, but we invite you to leave a voicemail with your comment. Please include your name and county in Washington State that you are calling from. You can also email the senator your comments on her website at cantwell.senate.gov. If this is regarding a tour, flag, or scheduling request, please let us know in the message. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, Senator. My name's Steve Livengood. I'm the pastor of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington, Clark County area. The church and I just are taking time out right now. You're in our church service on the phone, on the mic, and we just wanted to let you know we prayed for you today, and we're asking that the Senate end this shutdown because I took a vote, and unanimously everyone's hand went up that shutdown simply does not represent us. So we would like it to end, please. Thank you so much, and thank you for your service. Bye-bye. How about that? There you go. Amen? Praise the Lord. So just, you can have that number on your phone too. U.S. Capitol. You're a citizen. Somebody say, they work for me. That doesn't mean we act like psychos and pray in tongues and cast the devil out of them on the phone, right? No, you're professional, but what an opportunity, right? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. We worship you. We thank you. And we just thank you again, Father, for blessing America, blessing these elections this week, and just silencing the voice of the devil in any form that he takes. And we give you the praise. Just that spirit of division and strife and discord, and it's really a Marxist agenda to cause chaos and divide and so forth. So we just take authority over that spirit, and we just receive your blessing in every area of our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So yeah, you can do that with your senators and so forth, your representatives. The Speaker of the House, it's like you can do it for anybody. Sometimes it's good to catch them doing something right, though, right? I left a message for, I think it was our current representative, Maria Perez, that she said something that I liked, and it was something regarding the border, and so I let her know, right? It's like maybe I didn't vote for that person, but it's same with our school board and that kind of thing. It's good to, you know, have something positive to say as well, rather than just coming in hot and angry and, you know, no, that just doesn't usually go very well, right? Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to continue on this message entitled Forgiveness. Somebody say forgiveness. Hallelujah. And if we want our prayers to work, if we want anything to work in our life, serving God, then we need to live from a place of forgiveness. Amen. And that's why the image there of the rapids, the flowing water, and the illustration last week that Kenneth Copeland shared in his article in the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine was the Lord gave him a vision of a clogged pipe that wasn't, you know, that one side there was water gushing in and outside it was like just a little spritz coming out. And the word was your pipe is clogged with unforgiveness and strife, and it's the little things. The Lord emphasized. He said, some people take, you know, make it like these huge issues that cause the issue. But he said, usually it's the little things that build up over time and can cause the clogging of our pipes in the spirit. Amen? So we just have to be real good about walking in that attitude of forgiveness. And we won't review a whole lot today on the previous message because we've got to get to today's emphasis. But Matthew 6, verses 12 through 15. You can even back it up a little further. It's the Lord's Prayer, or the prayer that he taught us to pray, really. And, you know, I've used it as an outline. I was taught a number of years ago by a minister named Larry Lee, which I actually looked him up. I haven't, you know, you can find almost anything on YouTube or that kind of thing. And I found a message that he was teaching, it looks like in recent years, at his son's church. It's called Generations Church or something. And he might be in his 80s now, but he's still going, still teaching and ministering. And he talked about how in the 80s, how this was such a prayer revival, and he was going over it again. It was like, how cool is that to know that these guys are still going, still teaching? Amen. And I just, I would just love to thank certain people. It's good. I've heard Rick Renner say this. It's good to have a list of certain people in your life that did something significant in your life, even from childhood, and pray for them, pray for their families. Somebody that laid a brick in your life, that taught you something, that encouraged you in some way, that, you know, it could be somebody in business, somebody in ministry, somebody in your family, somebody that maybe you've never even met, that just deposited something in you, you know? And I try to remember to pray for those people all the time, right? And a few of them were key in my life in the area of forgiveness. Not toward me necessarily being able to forgive others, but I needed forgiveness for myself. I needed some breakthroughs in my own life. And God really used two or three people in particular to break me through in some areas when I was like a teenager that stick with me to this day, right? And I just, when I think about it, it makes me tear up because it's like, man, I'm so grateful for John Brandsetter and for Marty Knight and for Carrie Floor and for, you know, others in my life. But those particular three men and some others in that time of my life were just so instrumental in breaking me through in my life, right? In the area of receiving forgiveness. And it was a marvelous thing in my own personal salvation, really, right? And we must never forget those people. But in Matthew 6, verse 12, it says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Somebody say, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Amen. And verse 15 talks about the word trespass. If we forgive men their trespasses, that God will forgive our trespasses, right? And it translates as a side slip, a lapse or deviation, right? So we're not talking about necessarily walking in a lifestyle of sin, right? But at times there could be a slip or a lapse or a deviation, right? I know out there in the air traffic controller world, they can tell if a plane is deviating from its course it's supposed to be on, right? And that's what the Holy Spirit is there to help us with. Hey, you're deviating. You're beginning to drift from the truth you know. Well, it's just in a little area. It's just a little thing. No, no. Somebody say, stay on track. Stay on track with Jesus, right? So it's a trespass, right? A side slip, a lapse, or deviation. And I like this. It says, can be an unintentional error, right? Or it can also be a willful transgression. I love Jesse talking about this, Jesse Duplantis. And he was talking about the difference between willful and accidental sin or error, you know. And he was talking to the Lord about it. And certain scriptures talk about keeping us from willful sins. And he said the Lord was encouraging him about it. And he's like, well, Lord, it sure seemed, I knew what I was doing. It was willful. Those were willful sins. Because see, I think a lot of Christians can get into the mindset of, if I do something accidentally, then God will forgive me. But if I do it knowingly, then there's no grace. Well, that's just simply not true. Because that's, again, what Brother Jesse was talking about. It was, I've messed up before, and I knew all about what I was doing. Right? I knew I chose that attitude, I chose that behavior, I chose that action, even though I knew very good and well it's opposed to the direction the Word of God says to go in, right? It was a side slip, it was a deviation, it was a lapse that I chose. And there are those times where it's an oops, oh man, wow, I need to learn something right here. And there's other times it's like, no, I definitely, my will was involved there, right? But somebody say, there's forgiveness for both. The blood cleanses me of all sin, right? But I think what Jesus is looking for are people that don't hide it, that don't try to act like it doesn't mean anything. And I wrote down in the notes a little farther down, sometimes we apologize to somebody for something and they'll act like, oh, it's okay, it's all good, it's all good. Oh, that's not at all how I saw that. And this, well, praise the Lord. But how many know if it's a sin, then it's not okay? Right? If I messed up, if I made a mistake, if I sin, and I can't come to somebody and they just say, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It's all good. No, it's not all good. It's not okay. Somebody say, sin is not okay. So don't belittle it and act like, it. Oh, just say no big deal. No big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. It's clogging my pipe. And I need to get forgiven of it, and I need to get washed of it. Amen. But apparently, with Jesus, one of the biggest sins, if you want to say, is the sin of unforgiveness. Just not being willing to let something go. Somebody say, let it go. Let the water flow through. Let it gush through. And even if you have to do it by faith, Lord, I know that hurt me, that messed me up in my life, but I, in Jesus' name, I forgive that person or that event or that, you know, issue. I turn loose of it right now, and I refuse to hold on to it. I release it. I release that person. And you may not even, that person might be passed away now, but still it hurts. So that person might be, you know, not in touch. There's haven't talked in years, whatever. Amen. Doesn't mean you got to reach out to them. There might be cases where there needs to be some communication, right? But in many cases, this is simply by faith in Jesus' name, I forgive, I release. I'm not going to hang on to that. And you may have to do it every 5 minutes for a while. Amen. Somebody just say, I forgive. And even if the person isn't sorry, they have not apologized, they don't really care. Amen. Maybe they thought it was okay what they did. It didn't mean nothing. Well, yeah, it did mean something. Right? Somebody say, forgive anyway. Forgive anyway. Right? Because what you're really doing, what we're really doing when we forgive is we're setting ourselves free. Amen. Free from the weight of that, from the hurt of it, from any limitations in our own lives. We're just saying, you know what? I turn that, and then begin to pray for them. If they're still alive, just begin to pray and intercede, pray in the Holy Ghost over them. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to look today specifically at Luke chapter 7. And we're going to call this message the value of forgiveness. We should never devalue forgiveness. And when Jesus forgives me of something, it doesn't mean he's telling me what I did was okay. Right? Oh, yeah, Steve, that's okay. My blood covers that. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. There's one religion out there that uses a cuss word in their little slogan, let that bleep go. And there's a little statue, and it's like, just let it go, man. How many know if you don't come to Jesus, it's still there? If I don't come to Jesus, the bleep is still there. Even if I say and say and say and say and say and say, I let it go, I'm not, it don't mean nothing. Yes, it does. It's sin. Right? Hallelujah. Amen. So if we really want to be forgiven, then we need to come to the source, the water source. Right? Not to a false religion, not to a statue, not to a counselor. Right? Amen. Not to a liquor bottle or a joint or another relationship. We need to come to the source. And this is what this story is about. And this is one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible, right? Luke chapter 7, we'll start at verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. Now, immediately our minds go to what that sin must be, but it really doesn't seem to say what the sin is, right? Some would instantly go, well, she must be a prostitute then. Doesn't really say that, that says she's a sinner. So whatever it is, somebody say, someone else's sin ain't none of my business. Ain't none of my business. But apparently, let's read on, okay? Somebody say, read on. A woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself. Now, if that's not a good description of a religious mindset, I don't know what is. He spoke to himself. How easy it is for those of us who are in church and, you know, been serving God for a while, and we see somebody that doesn't look right, to speak to ourselves about that situation. That person sure is messed up, man. Messed up. But not me. I'm not messed up. Somebody say, don't do that, right? The Pharisee who had invited him saw this. He spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Now, obviously, we know not all the Pharisees were bad people, right? There were some that loved him, and, you know, we think of Nicodemus and others that didn't want to execute him and all of that. And here's a man that probably genuinely just wanted to talk and have lunch and ask him some questions, you know. And this woman comes in with issues that he well, good and well knows, right? And she just begins to weep. And you see the story and begin. What a precious, precious moment of brokenness that this woman comes in and begins to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair, right? And she breaks this expensive box of oil and begins to cover his feet with it, right? And it's just, it's a powerful, powerful thing that's happening. What is she doing? Somebody say, she's getting free. She doesn't care what anyone else thinks. She's coming to the source of forgiveness. He's in the house. This is my moment. This is my time. Nothing is going to stop me or hold me back. I don't care what anyone else thinks. This is remarkable, right? And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who owed who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Somebody say, he freely forgave them both. And notice he wasn't saying, it's okay, that's okay. What you did was okay. No. He said he freely forgave them. How many know just because he forgave me doesn't mean it's okay for me to just not change. Just keep going and living how I want to live because he'll just forgive me again. He'll just forgive me again. If we live like that, our hearts will grow hard. Right? So he freely forgave them both. Jesus says, tell me therefore, which one of them will love him more, right? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins... Here's Jesus being real, right? Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many... right? are forgiven. Glory to God. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Glory to God, right? And that word little, you know, verse 47, there's some definitions there for you. When he says, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom who loves little is forgiven, the same loves little, right? And that means words like puny. And I think this is really important for every Christian, no matter if they come off the streets out of the drug world and crazy perversions and just the worst kind of sins you could ever think of, to somebody that just walked in, you know, really no addictions in their life, just not a whole lot of, you know, stuff that we would consider, oh my gosh, right? It's important as a Christian that we understand, no matter how big or puny my sin was, it still put him on the tree. So I should never come to Jesus acting like it was a little thing that he did for me. Amen. How many know there's nothing greater that anyone ever did for me than what he did for me on the cross? And I needed it desperately. And I need the effect of that blood every day, desperately, desperately, desperately. Sometimes the less things we have, the less issues we have, the hungrier we should be to be in his presence and be at his feet and be sharing him with other people. How many know you don't have to be forgiven of a huge, massive sin to love him more? We just simply have to choose to love him more and spend time with him. Amen. And seek his face, right? But the word little means words like puny, briefly. Anybody ever know of a person that got saved and was red hot for a while? Briefly. And then something happened or they just quit. Just went back to the world, went back to whatever, right? Didn't stick. Why didn't it stick? It's a love issue, isn't it, right? Means few, little, a season. Well, Pastor Steve, yeah, but I just sinned for a season, you know? It was just a season of my life, so really I just needed Jesus for a season. No. I think it would behoove us all to remember what he saved us from. Amen? And to always go back to the moment we were born again and remember that experience. Right? I remember, you know, back in when I was in high school, I got in some trouble, man. And there was somebody else, a friend of mine in school, that knew about it. And I went to my pastor. And the person that knew about it also was a Christian. And man, they covered me. They covered me. I found out, they said, I'm not going to tell anybody about this because I love Jesus and I've had issues in my life too. I mean, the grace of God. And had a meeting with my pastor at that time. We had a closed door prayer meeting amongst him and a couple other of their people that were on the board of the church. And man, he led me through a prayer. And see, I thought I was saved. I might have been saved, but I needed more Jesus. And he led me through this prayer that I literally couldn't repeat his words. I had to force it out in tears. And man, I got a breakthrough like I never knew. And I experienced the grace and the forgiveness of God like I had never known before from other human beings. God just covered me and brought me through that time. And brought the right people into my life that represented him accurately. and it changed me forever. When you, and it's important that we, and that may not be something that happened to you, but I need to come back to it myself and just remember, you know what? That was so impactful in my life that I'm never, even for a season, walking away from the Master. I have experienced too much. He's delivered me from too much. And it wasn't a puny thing. Well, it was just for a little while. It was just a little sin, just a little while. Just or in our day now that we're living in, what's the big deal? Just embrace it. Everyone's doing it. It doesn't matter. It's just a little thing. It's just a puny little thing. No, it isn't. It put him on the cross. Right? And he did, somebody say, and he did it for me. For me. Wow. Hallelujah. And when the word much means often, mostly, largely, abundant, common, a great deal, a great while, long, many, much, oftentimes, plenteous. Pastor Steve, I largely sin. I often sin. I mostly sin. I sin abundantly. It's just commonplace, Steve, for me to sin. I sin a great deal. I've sinned for a great while. I sin for a long time. Many, many sins. Much sin. Oftentimes. Plenteous. Pastor Steve, see, it's just hopeless for me because it's just that's just who I am, Steve. No, no, no. Somebody say it's the same Savior. This woman, Jesus said, was that person. But she had a moment of revelation. I could change. Perhaps I can change today by coming to the source of forgiveness, to the water source. And she saw her moment, and she didn't care about what anybody else in the room would think or say. And she just came in and laid herself at his feet. And she left free. Glory to God forevermore. And then she who sinned much, all of a sudden now, she loves largely, right? She loves often, abundantly. It's the common thing for her to love, right? She loves a great deal. She loves for a great while. She loves long. She loves much. She loves oftentimes. She has plenty of love. Because she's experienced such amazing love and grace and forgiveness from him. Hallelujah. Somebody say, it wasn't a little thing that he did for me. And it wasn't a little thing that I did against him. Well, just a little gossip, just a little slander. Just a little bit of lust, just a little bit of depression, just a little bit of disobedience, Pastor Steve. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Just let it go. No, no, somebody say, bring it to the source of forgiveness and be free of it. And be free of it. And choose to love him more. Somebody say, I will love him more and more and more. Remember the story, we're going to look at David a little bit next week. Remember the story where he comes into town. I think Shelley brought this up in the offering last week, where he comes into town with the Ark of the Covenant, and he's spinning and dancing and praising, and his wife, Michal, criticizes him for it. You are the king. Why are you acting so brashly and, you know, act like you're royalty. You're not supposed to be acting like that. She would wanted him to act more like this Pharisee, right? But the king was more like this woman of, no, you don't understand. You don't understand where I've been, what I've come through, where I've been brought from. And if you think this is vile, just wait till tomorrow, wife. That's the kind of commitment he's looking for. That's the kind of commitment that will change a region and save children, right? And build a church and see the devil ran out of town. People that just love Jesus more and more and more and more. Because we recognize the value of what he's already done for us. And what he will also do for someone else. The Pharisee, he seemed to think she was hopeless. Right? He's supposed to be the minister, right? Helping people. He didn't see it. Maybe he learned something there. Maybe that was Nicodemus. I don't know. But how many know Jesus is so much bigger than any issue, than any obstacle? And the devil tries to make the obstacle and the issue look bigger than he is. And it's just simply not true. Amen? Hallelujah. Why don't we all stand up on our feet this morning and just thank him for what he's done for us today. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody say, I choose the love. I choose the love. I will choose to love you more, Father, than any sin, than any offense, than any guilt, than any hurt. I will choose to love you and come to you regularly and spend time with you in your word, in prayer, in worship, and be sensitive to your voice, the voice of your spirit, and act accordingly, speak accordingly, live accordingly, because I love you. Somebody say, I forgive because I love you, Lord. I forgive because I love you and because you forgave me. Because you forgave me, say this, because you forgave me, I forgive others. And I receive your love deeper and stronger, longer and longer, bigger and bigger on the inside of me, shining out to other people. Hallelujah. And maybe someone's listening to this message later and you're not born again. You've never received Jesus as Lord of your life. And you're like, I need that forgiveness. I am that woman. And let's just pray this. Just pray this out loud with me, church, and we'll pray it with whoever is listening later. Just say, Father God, I give you my life. I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for the blood that you shed for me on the cross, forgiving me of every sin. I receive you now, and I choose to love you and receive your love and live for you all the days of my life. And I receive also the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of praying in other tongues that your word speaks of in the book of Acts and so many other places. I will pray, have my heavenly prayer language and fellowship with you daily. Let's all just pray in the spirit for a moment. Just say, Kore ne shita rava ba shite ne kila. La da da mi shita rava ma shita rava ma kala la vi mi shita no do no. Ki la rava ba shuto randa shita rava mi ki la rando shite kala la vi mi mi. Just put your hand on your head. Just say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Put your hands in your ears and say, my ears hear his voice. Hand on your eyes. Say, my eyes see. My eyes see what you see. Put your hands on your mouth. Say, my mouth speaks what you say. Put your hands on your heart. Say, my heart receives all of your word in every area of my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise the Lord.